Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Satan's boundaries as we pick up in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
There are viable arguments, and of course, the fact that Satan came along so early, he had already fallen to tempt Eve, and that there was darkness over the face of the deep and all tend to give credence to this gap theory, and that the earth was somehow disheveled and destroyed at Satan's rebellion and sin against God. And a literal reading in verse 2 can read, but the earth became wasted and desolate. And it is not consistent with God's creative acts to create something wasted and desolate. When God creates it, he creates it perfect. God saw the light that it was good. God saw the land that it was good. God saw the animals, they were good. It isn't consistent with God to create something wasted and desolate, without form and void. So there are some arguments, very powerful arguments, for the gap theory, and I have not in my own mind totally set it aside as not worthy of consideration. I think that it has some very worthy points, and thus I have no firm set in my own mind as far as creation is concerned. It's still an open chapter, an open file, and I await further information. I know that God could have created the whole thing just 10,000 years ago, 6,000, I have no problem with that. But I also realize that it could have been billions of years ago, and that between Genesis 1 and 2, you have a long gap, at which time somewhere in there Satan was created, and Satan fell and rebelled against God, and the whole system was brought into a chaotic state. The earth became wasted and desolate without form and void and all. So, you can't be dogmatic in my mind on these things, though I know many people are dogmatic on it. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities and by the iniquity of the traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Satan will ultimately be cast into the lake that is burning with fire, and this is the reference to it here. Right now, Satan has great liberties. God has allowed him these liberties. They are liberties within boundaries. Satan works within prescribed boundaries that God has placed upon him. When he came to God concerning Job, he said, "You put a hedge around him. I can't touch him." God put the boundaries upon Satan, the perimeters in which he can work. As far as I'm concerned, he still has too much liberty. When Jesus comes again and establishes the kingdom of God upon the earth, Satan will at that point be bound and placed into the abuso, the bottomless pit, where he will stay for almost 1,000 years. Right out towards the end of that 1,000-year period, he'll be released again for a short season to deceive people and to create a rebellion against the Lord, that the Lord might be righteous when he makes the final judgment. For there will be those who will have been born during the kingdom age, or those who have lived into the kingdom age who have never really made a real commitment of their lives to Jesus Christ, will have to live righteously by force during the kingdom age. But towards the end, they'll be given their opportunity to express what has been in their heart the whole time, the rebellion against God that is there. And then at the culmination of this final rebellion, Satan will be cast into the Gehenna, the lake burning with fire, and there the final judgment of God upon him, as is expressed here. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and shalt never shalt thou be anymore. No more freedom, liberty, anything else. The judgment of Sidon. Now he turns from Tyre, from the prince of Tyre, to this sister city of Sidon up the coast. And again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Sidon, prophesy against it, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Sidon, and I will be glorified in the midst of thee, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall have executed judgments in her, and shall be sanctified in her. For I will send into her pestilence and blood into her streets, and the wounded shall be judged in the midst of her by the sword upon her on every side, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And they shall be no more a pricking briar unto the house of Israel, nor any grieving thorn of all that are round about them that despise them, and they shall know that I am the Lord God. Notice there is nothing said about ultimate destruction or complete destruction or never be rebuilt. Sidon still exists on the ancient site of the city of Sidon and is still a city there to the present day. Verse 25, God speaks now, the regathering of his people Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel, speaking of the present day, from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen. Now that is not yet come. That will take place when the invading Russian army is destroyed. Then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob, and they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgments upon all those that despise them round about them, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God. That's, of course, going on into the kingdom age when God has finally brought his judgment upon all of the nations for the treatment that they have given to the Jews. Now, as we get into chapter 29, in the 10th year, that would be the year 587 BC. And in the 10th month, the 12th day of the month, this prophecy came to Ezekiel concerning the Pharaoh who was the king of Egypt, who was Pharaoh Hophri. And it came against him and against all of Egypt. And he said, Speak and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I'm against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lies in the midst of his rivers, which hath said, My river is my own, and I have made it for myself, glorying in the great Nile and its tributaries. But I will put hooks in your jaws, and I will cause the fish of the rivers to stick unto thy scales, and I will bring thee up out of the midst of thy rivers, and all of the fish of thy rivers shall stick unto thy scales. And I will leave thee thrown into the wilderness, thee and all of the fish of thy rivers, and thou shalt fall upon the open fields. And thou shalt not be brought together nor gathered. And I have given thee for meat to the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven. And all the inhabitants of Egypt shall know that I am the Lord, because you have been a staff of a reed to the house of Israel. Now, Israel leaned upon Egypt for help. It wasn't right that they do so. God wanted them to lean upon him. In fact, the prophet Jeremiah said, if you lean upon Egypt, it'll be like a broken reed and it'll pierce your hand. Now, a reed is not a strong staff at all. A reed may look strong, but it's very fibrous and it has no strength at all. Though it looks like you could really lean upon it, you go to lean upon a reed and the thing will just bend you can just pierce through your hand with the thing. If you really are leaning hard upon a reed, you're trusting in something that just can't hold you up. It'll bend, it'll break, and you'll fall. Now, Egypt was likened unto a reed upon the people of God leaned. And Pharaoh Hophri did come up with the Egyptian forces. And he caused Nebuchadnezzar to pull back from his sieging of Jerusalem for a while. But then the Pharaoh Hophri returned to Egypt, and Nebuchadnezzar continued his siege and destroyed Jerusalem. So because Pharaoh Hophri was not really a help to Judah, God speaks against him. You have been like a staff of reed to the house of Israel. When they took hold of thee by thy hand, you did break, and you tore all their shoulder. And when they leaned upon thee, you broke, and you made their loins to be at a stand. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring a sword upon thee, and cut off man and beast out of thee. And the land of Egypt shall be desolate and waste, and they shall know that I am the Lord, because he hath said, the river is mine, and I have made it. Again, as Nebuchadnezzar said, this great Babylon is mine, I have made it. And the watchers in heaven said, oh, you know, we'll put you down for that one. And he went insane for a period of time. We'll get that in a few weeks when we get to Daniel. Fascinating story. Behold, therefore, I am against thee and against thy rivers, and I will make the land of Egypt utterly waste and desolate from the Tower of Sin unto the border of Ethiopia. No foot of man shall pass through it, or foot of beast, for a period of 40 years. And I will make the land of Egypt desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate on her cities round about the cities are laid waste, and shall be desolate for 40 years, and I'll scatter the Egyptians among the nations, and will disperse them in the countries. Yet thus saith the Lord God, at the end of 40 years will I gather the Egyptians from the people where they've been scattered, and I will bring again the captivity of Egypt, and will cause them to return into the land of Pathros, to the land of their habitation, and they shall be there a base kingdom. And it will become the basis of kingdoms, and neither shall exalt itself any more above the nations, for I will diminish them, that they shall be no more a ruler over the nations. And it shall be no more the confidence of the house of Israel, which brings their iniquity to remembrance. And it shall come to pass, and it came to pass in the 7th and 20th year, in the first month of the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man. Now, there are those Bible critics who say, well, this did not happen during the time of Pharaoh Hophri, that Nebuchadnezzar did not conquer Egypt during the time of his reign. It is interesting that they have skipped this particular reference in verse 17. He doesn't say that Nebuchadnezzar conquered the Pharaoh Hophri and conquered Egypt during the time of his reign. But this came in the 27th year. The previous prophecy came in the 10th year. So the latter part of this chapter came 17 years later, after the death of Pharaoh Hophri. Son of man, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, caused his army to serve a great service against Tyrus. Every head was made bald, every shoulder was peeled, yet they had no wages, nor his army, for Tyrus, for the service they had served against it. Now, God is saying, look, Nebuchadnezzar was my servant. He destroyed Tyrus, but he didn't get paid. By the time he conquered the city, there was no spoil. So neither he nor his army got their pay for the job that they did for me in the destruction of Tyrus. Therefore, they will go down and they will conquer Egypt, and there they will get their wages as they take the great wealth of Egypt unto themselves. And so the spoil of Egypt was to be the pay that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar and his troops for the lack of pay in the destruction of Tyrus. In chapter 30, the word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, howl ye, woe worth the day. So he was going around howling, woe worth the day. For the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day, and it shall be a time of the heathen. And the sword shall come upon Egypt, and great pain shall be in Ethiopia. And he tells of the destruction that is going to come against these nations. Ethiopia, Libya, Lydda, and all of the mingled people of Chub, the men are then in the land in league, shall fall by them in the sword. Thus saith the Lord, they also that uphold Egypt shall fall, and the pride of her power shall come down, and from the Tower of Sin they shall fall in it by the sword, saith the Lord. And it shall be desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate, and her cities shall be in the midst of the cities that are wasted, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I have set a fire in Egypt, and when all her helpers shall be destroyed. In that day shall messengers go forth from me in ships to make the careless Ethiopians afraid, and great pain shall come upon them as in the day of Egypt, for lo, it cometh. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also make the multitude of Egypt to cease by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. So the greatness which was once Egypt one of the greatest nations in the ancient world. You study ancient history, and Egypt always stands out. And you go, of course, to Egypt, and you see the tremendous monuments to the genius of the people of that ancient world. You see the ruins in Memphis and in Thebes. You see the pyramids. You see the Sphinx and all of these great monuments that were there in Egypt, and you can only stand in awe and imagine the glory that once was in Egypt. But Egypt is to fall, not to rise into a world-dominating stature again, but to remain just a base nation from then on. And of course, such is the story. Egypt is no longer a major kind of a world empire or a major kingdom of the world, but it is just one of the many lesser nations of the world even today. And God speaks of this judgment that is going to come, and he names the various cities. The Lord said, verse 13, I will destroy the idols. I will cause their images to cease out of Memphis. Noph is Memphis. And of course, you go to Memphis and you can see these huge idols that are still there. And there shall be no more a prince in the land of Egypt, that is a Pharaoh. I will put a fear in the land of Egypt, and I will make Pathros desolate, and I will set on fire in Zoan, and will execute judgments in No, which is Thebes. I will pour out my fury upon Sin and the strength of Egypt, and I will cut off the multitude of Thebes, and I will set fire in Egypt, and Sin shall have great pain, and Thebes shall be torn asunder, and Memphis shall have distresses daily. And the young men of Avon and Pibesheth shall fall by the sword, and these cities shall go into captivity. At Tahapenes also the day shall be darkened, when I shall break there the yokes of the Egypt. Now, it was at Tahapenes that Jeremiah, you remember, took stones and he buried them, and he said, over the top of these stones, Nebuchadnezzar is going to build his throne. And of course, archaeologists in excavating at Tahapenes uncovered the porch of the palace, and they removed the stones, the pavement, and underneath they found the very stones that Jeremiah buried as a witness against that city. And it was indeed there that Nebuchadnezzar came and set up his throne. Jeremiah says, you're trusting in Egypt to deliver you? Look, Nebuchadnezzar is going to set up his throne right here. Egypt isn't going to deliver. Now, that did not happen during the period of Pharaoh Hopfre, but this portion, of course, happened later, 17 years after the beginning of the siege of Tyre, or actually it was 15 years after that, that God for payment to Nebuchadnezzar gave him Egypt. Verse 20, it came to pass, now in the 11th year, that is, you're back into first month, April of 586 BC. And it's important that you catch these datings of these prophecies so that you know at what time these particular prophecies were made. So this now was made in April 586, the year that Jerusalem fell to Nebuchadnezzar. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and lo, it shall not be bound up to be healed, to put a ruler to bind it, or to make a strong to hold the sword. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, Pharaoh Hophri again at this time, and will break his arms, the strong and that which was broken, and I will cause the sword to fall out of his hand, and I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations, and will disperse them through the countries. And I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon and put my sword in his hand, but I will break Pharaoh's arms, and he shall groan before him with the groanings of a deadly wounded man. But I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon, and the arms of Pharaoh shall fall down, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall put my sword into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall stretch it upon the land of Egypt, and I will scatter Egyptians among the nations, disperse them among the countries, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And so God's judgment's pronounced against Egypt. And the next couple of chapters, he continues these judgments against Egypt. And then we get into these instructions for those of the Jewish captivity and of their coming back into the land. And we get into some very exciting prophecies that we see being fulfilled today in the land of Israel.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ezekiel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply go to Ezekiel 28 through 30 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord keep His hand upon your life, and may He speak to you this week through His Word. And may He open up your heart and your mind and your understanding to the things of the Spirit. May He cause you to realize that His righteous principles will always prevail. That when God speaks, it can be accounted as done. And when God establishes a principle, it cannot be violated. And thus may you live in that place where God can bless you as He desires to bless you. May you keep yourself in the love of God as you walk in fellowship with Him this week. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
For years, Pastor Chuck was asked thousands of questions.
This new guy that my mom married, he thinks that the Christian beliefs are foolish, and I was wondering if that's going to, like, affect my mom's walk.
I'm a Christian. I'm trying to fight the addiction of smoking, and are those things going to keep me from going in the rapture?
Is it okay to use your tithe and give it to someone who's going on a mission trip instead of giving it directly to church?
The Word for Today is pleased to present an ebook called Biblical Counseling by Chuck Smith, listing over 200 topics that include Pastor Chuck's commentary and the scripture references he used. Topics include addiction, business relationships, depression, lawsuits, sexuality, training children, and so much more. To download the Biblical Counseling ebook by Chuck Smith, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link provided. Or you can call 1-800-272-9673.